Thank you, Pete. Well, we've done a lot of traveling this year. How many of you have been somewhere this summer on some kind of a trip? Yeah, there's still some out there traveling around. And when you've been traveling, have you ever gone down a wrong road? And how long does it usually take you to decide you've gone down the wrong road? Well, it probably depends on whether the husband's going to listen to the wife and stop and ask directions, right? Yeah, most of us men, when we're driving, we just keep saying, well, this is a new way I've found, right? You know, we don't want to admit that that we don't know the way, but sometimes we don't know the way, and we keep driving the wrong way anyway. And you know, it's that way in spiritual life as well. People get on the wrong road, and they stay on that road, thinking that maybe that they're going to find a way off of it at some point in time, but there's just too many interesting things along the wrong road that keeps their attention. And so, for many, they never find the right road. And that's a very dangerous thing. It can have eternal consequences. This morning, as we continue to study this great message from the Lord Himself, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, two verses that we want to consider, and these are really based on an Old Testament passage that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. But Jesus says, once again, enter in at the narrow gate. Now, I want you to know that enter in at the narrow gate is really a command. There's a sense of urgency about this. It's not that you need to finally make up your mind. It is that there is an urgency about making up your mind. And if you ever intend to go to heaven, then this is the way you have to go. And so the Lord's calling us to attention. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be who go in that way, because narrow is the gate, and hard is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Many go the broad way. Few find the narrow way that leads to righteousness and eternal life. Well, the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said it like this. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Wow. As you think about your own life this morning, I would suspect that most of you who are here today have gotten on the narrow road, and you're headed in the direction that leads to heaven. You've made that peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But there may be someone who's still on the broad way. For many go that way. And there are many, I believe, in churches today who have chosen that way because they have some intellectual understanding of heaven. They have some intellectual understanding of who Jesus is. And they think that they can play both hands, but you can't. You can't stay on the Broadway and meet Jesus at the end. It is an impossibility. We want to talk about the narrow road that leads to the narrow gate that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there are four truths that we need to take to heart this morning from this passage, and we all have to deal with them in one way or another, for all of us make a choice on what road we're going to be on in life. And we're on that road this morning, all of us are. We're either on the road, the broad way that leads to destruction, or we're on the narrow way that leads to righteousness and heaven and to be eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you consider, first of all, that there are two gates that we need to consider. Verse 13 once again says this, "Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Well, why wouldn't Jesus say that? Why wouldn't Jesus give us the warning? Why wouldn't Jesus tell us the way? He would, because he loves us and because he cares for us. And so he calls us to attention. Would you consider for a moment the wide gate of the world? At this gate, there is no hindrance or resistance. There's nothing there that would propel you back. There's nothing there that would give you warning that this is the wrong way. In fact, there would be everything there that would entice you to come on in, that would entice you to go down this road and to dibble-dabble in everything that Broadway has to offer. This wide gate of the world represents the beginning to the way of destruction. Isn't it interesting that when we enter in on the Broadway, and all of us have been there, we were all on that road until we met Jesus, until we found the detour, until we got on the narrow road, we were all there. And isn't it interesting that we rarely count the consequences when we're on the Broadway? Isn't it interesting that we don't count what is going to happen in the long run? It looks good, tastes good, must be good, and so we're invited by Satan himself to participate, and we think it's okay, and we do not consider the consequences. But it is the beginning of destruction. This is the gate that is attractive and seems to be where everyone is going and where all the action is. I find it interesting, and I'm sure you do too, that where there's great activity, crowds gather. And we have an interest, I guess, by nature to want to know what's going on when crowds gather. You know, we're that way. If we see people huddling together around an accident, we are prone to want to pull off and see what it is that's going on. When there's great activity, if there's a house burning or there's a lot going on in a road, we want to stop and see. That's just our nature. And often it's when we stop and see that we get in trouble. On this wide road to destruction, there is no restrictions as to belief or behavior. The world will tell you, believe anything you want to believe, because all roads lead to heaven. But all roads don't lead to heaven. In fact, there's only one that leads to heaven. All the rest lead to destruction. It doesn't matter how pretty they look or how good they seem, they all lead to destruction. This road invites one to bring along whatever baggage they desire. The baggage that contains materialism, the baggage that contains prejudice and hatred and unforgiving spirits. Believe whatever one wants to believe. That's what the Broadway offers. But Jesus says, enter in at the narrow gate. Notice that he doesn't say, enter in at the Broadway. He says, for broad is the way that leads to destruction. But his first command, his first word here in that verse is, enter into the narrow gate. It is the narrow gate, you see, that enters heaven. This gate is so narrow that it is seen only by a few. And why is that? Because we like the dazzling. We like the glitz and the glitter. We like the lights and the Broadway. That's what we like. The narrow way often is a dark and a lonely road. But Jesus is ahead of us, and he does light the path. And so we just must follow him. I remember a long time ago, I was in the Boy Scouts, and we used to go hiking. And we had certain things that we had to do for merit badges and those kinds of things. And I remember when before I was a senior patrol leader, I had a senior patrol leader. And so he was like the sergeant of the unit, you know. And so he's the one that always went ahead. And when we went hiking, I was always glad that he went ahead of us because he would pave the way. And I'm deathly afraid of snakes. And often we would go through very deep grass, and I was glad that he went ahead of me. That way, if there was a snake there, you know, he would have gotten it, not me. You know? Or at least I would have been warned, you know, that there's something there. And so Jesus is that way. He goes ahead of us so that we can follow him. That's why Peter says that we're to follow in his footsteps, because he knows the way. He's been there, and he knows all about it. This way is narrow because it requires some things. It requires self-denial and obedience. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, let me just read this verse to you. This explains it very well. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There is a sense of denial that must take place in us if we are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to get on the narrow road, there are some criteria that is required of us as followers. Jesus once again said, "Enter," which is demanding action right away. He's saying, "Enter now." And why is it so important that we enter now? We need to enter now because now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. We may not be able to enter tomorrow. We have to enter when we're facing that opportunity. Friday evening, about 6 o'clock, I visited Rita. We talked. They were hanging a second unit of blood. And we were sharing, and she smiled a little bit, and we talked about how she was going to get well. Well, she is well. She's well now. She's with the Lord. But we really weren't talking about her going home at that moment to the Lord. We were talking about her going to rehab and getting her knee strengthened so that she could go home and be free of pain. We were talking about that, and we hugged and we prayed, and I left the room. And when she went to sleep at whatever time it was, I don't know necessarily that even though she said to one of the nurses that she was going to die, but I don't know for sure that she necessarily knew that for certain. We don't know. When she closed her eyes in sleep, I don't know that she knew that she would not open them here again. You see, this says to me that life is uncertain. You and I never know when our lives will end. It comes at inopportune times. It comes at unplanned times. We just never know. That's why it's so absolutely important that we enter now at the narrow gate while there is time and opportunity and while we have breath, while we're able to make decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone wants to come after me, Jesus said, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This narrow way has no room for consuming desire for earthly things. There's no room for the desire to keep accumulating, to satisfy this thing, this gnawing desire often that we have to own things. This narrow way has no room for an unforgiving spirit. This narrow way has no room for self-righteousness. In fact, you see, this narrow way, this Christianity, does not leave room for anyone else's view of salvation. How often are Christians called narrow-minded? We're narrow-minded for a reason. We're narrow-minded because the way is narrow. We're narrow-minded because that is the only way. All other views of salvation you throw out the window because none of them have validity. Only the narrow way has validity. In the book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 12, Dr. Luke writes these words, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Only through Jesus, only through the narrow way can we be forgiven and can we go to heaven. This narrow gate is the gate that must be revealed when we realize there has to be more to life than the glitz and the glitter. You must enter this gate, incidentally, alone. You don't enter it with a mob. You don't enter it with the crowd. You enter it alone. It's kind of like entering a turnstile. If you're going into a park and there's a turnstile there, two people don't fit in the turnstile. It is one at a time. And this is how you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come one at a time into the narrow gate. It is like the turnstile. And as you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, one at a time, you enter the narrow way that leads to righteousness and to heaven. Not only are there two gates that Jesus talks about here, he talks about that there are two roads. There's the easy road, the broad way. That's the road that leads to everything that it seems man could possibly want. And that's the idea that Satan wants to plant in our minds, is that you can find it all on the broad way. Everything you ever desired will be there. And there are all kinds of exits on this broad way. Exits that offer participation in all kinds of things without any accountability. Do whatever you want to do, it's okay. This is the road that seems to take us to those places where all of our dreams can be fulfilled. But the Bible says at the end of this road of glitz and glitter is the way of destruction. The way of destruction. Kind of like you're tooling down the highway one day and you miss the sign that says dead end. And you just keep going and all of a sudden the road runs out and there's no place else to go. The only problem with this Broadway is that you can't turn around. Once you get to the end of the Broadway, you don't turn around. There is no turning around. When you're at destruction, that's it. You must find the narrow way now. Once again, that's why Jesus says, enter now into the narrow way. The broad road, the easy road, and then the narrow road, which requires a driver with more intense precision to stay on course. This is the road that is often unpaved. Sometimes this is the road that you have to dodge the potholes. And so you're swerving and wiggling around those places. You know it's the right way, but it's not easy. I'm not sure where we ever got off on the idea that following Christ is an easy thing. Because he does tell us, take up your cross and follow me. And if we see anything about the cross, we see that the cross was not easy upon our Lord. He fell underneath the weight of the cross. This cross that Jesus is talking about is not a literal cross. Thank God for that. But it is a cross. It is representing those things that Jesus stands for. And that is not an easy way, but it is the right way. And it is the only way that will lead to righteousness. This narrow road is the road that requires an attention to detail. You have to pay attention to the things on this road. This is the road that requires a determination to choose to stay on it. How many times in your own life, I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but how many times in your own life, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, have you felt like just giving up? Because it's hard. It seems like everything you try to do for the Lord's sake comes back in your face. Seems like everything you try to do for the Lord's sake is mocked by someone. And so you just can't seem to get anywhere. And there's resistance. Of course there will be resistance. Do you think Satan for a moment wants you to travel the narrow road? Of course not. And he will put up his resistance. But I love what the scripture says. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That means that he's overcome Satan. Satan's defeated. And so in the face of despair and sometimes discouragement as a child of God, we must continue to move forward down that road. Why? Because Jesus is leading the way. That's why. There are two groups also that we see from this text. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who go in that way. Because narrow is the gate and hard is the way which leadeth in unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, many see the broad way, but few find the narrow way. So there are two groups. There are, first of all, the many who go in by the broad way. Easy requirements. Make your own rules. Have you ever played a game with somebody and they make up their own rules as they go? You know, there's rules for the game, but they make up their own rules. That gets a little uneasy at the table sometimes, doesn't it? But this is what the Broadway offers. You can make up your own rules. Well, I like that. That's great. If I don't like your rules, I make up my own. Believe what you want. That is convenient. That means that we can sin and do whatever we want to do and make an excuse that seems valid to us. People do that all the time. Our government does that all the time. We have laws that do that. Do what you want. Now be honest. Are there not times in your life, or have there not been times in your life, that you would just like to be able to do anything you want and know that you're not going to get caught? Yeah, you know, do what you want. That's the group that's in the broad way. But Jesus says the narrow way that we're to enter into, there are few that find that. Why are there so few? Well, because we have to play the game according to the rules. We have to do it God's way. And when we do it God's way, that becomes an affront to us. Because man in his heart naturally is rebellious toward God. We don't like authority. We want to do it our way. So the fact of the matter is that there will only be a few that will be saved. When we look at the population of the world, and I'm sure that no one really has this figured out, it is only a good estimate. You know, something in the neighborhood of 2 billion Christians out of 6 billion population in the world, that's not very many when you look at it. Only a few will be saved. Would you consider the millions that were lost in the flood versus the 8 that were in the ark? And when the door to the ark was closed, that was the end of the Broadway. And they were knocking to get in. Let us in. Oh, Noah, we believe now. But it's too late. God closed the door. It's too late. And can't you hear them? Those 120 years that Noah labored building that, preaching the Word of God, telling folks you need to repent, you need to turn to God, and they all laughed at him, you're crazy man. But when it started raining and the springs burst forth from the earth and started filling the earth and they started drowning, they said, those who were living and seeing this, they were saying, oh my, he must have been correct. What are we going to do? And they climbed to the highest point until they couldn't climb anymore, and they were covered up and they found destruction. Think of the thousands lost in the wilderness versus the two who entered the promised land. Then consider what Luke says in chapter 13. Lord, someone asked him, are there few being saved? And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. When the door is closed, it's closed. When you get to the end of the Broadway, there is destruction. And when you've gone that far, it's too far. And there's no turning back. So that leads us then to the last lesson we hear from these two verses. There are two destinations. There is that destination called destruction, which is ultimate eternal judgment in hell. And yes, I believe there is a real place called hell. And yes, I believe that it's all going to be thrown in the lake of fire, as Revelation says. And I believe that it's going to burn eternally. And I believe that there will be no let up. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not. There are many today who would lead us to believe that if you don't enter into the narrow way, well, that's really not too bad, because at the end of it, you're just going to be burned up as annihilation. Well, you know what? That's not too bad when you think about it. You see, you can take the Broadway and do all the stuff you want to do, because in the end, it doesn't matter anyway. So why do we preach? Why do we have the Word of God if it doesn't matter anyway? Let's just all go out and do whatever we want to do and have a good time doing it, because in the end, we'll just be burned up to annihilation where we know nothing, as if we never existed. So who cares? But the truth of the matter is this. We're all going to live forever. We have been created to live forever. It's just a matter of where you intend to live. And you make that choice. That's why there's an urgency about it. That's why Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And Jesus says the same thing here. Enter into, hurry up, he says, and enter into the narrow way, enter into the narrow gate. For broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. But few, few will find it. There is an everlasting destruction that is coming. And everyone who has not received Christ as Savior and Lord will face eternal damnation in a real place called hell. That's not popular today. Folks don't like to hear that. But you see, that is the truth. The absolute truth. This destruction will fall upon those who do not know God. And John describes the end of this way as a lake of fire in Revelation 20. Let's consider the other destination. I like this one a whole lot better. It's called life. I like life. You like life? Life's not always fun. Life is filled with disappointments. Life sometimes hurts. Life sometimes filled with sickness and pain and those kinds of things. But I want to tell you something. I like life. I like life. And I know one day, unless the Lord comes first, that I'm going to die. Now, I'm not afraid of dying. I like what Will says. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm just afraid of going through the process. But I know the Lord will even be with me through that. But I like life. And I like the truth that life goes on forever in a wonderful place called heaven with the creator of the entire universe and with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I like those prospects. And it's so simple to have that assurance. You just have to enter in at the narrow gate. That's all. Just enter in at the narrow gate. Now that requires repentance. That requires acknowledgement of your sin. And that requires that you're not only just sorry for your sin, but you're sorry that you broke the heart of God. You're sorry that you sinned against him. And you turn around and you head in a brand new direction in the power and in your faith placed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I like life's destination because it's everlasting life. That means that there'll never be any times of going in a hospital room and putting your arms around someone and trying to bring comfort to them because their wife has just died. There won't be any more of that because there won't be any death. There won't be having to sit down with a husband and a wife and trying to get them to reconcile and stay together because there won't be any more of that. There won't be trying to soothe someone's hurt feelings or trying to help someone understand that their son or their daughter's in a crisis. There won't be any more of that. Everlasting life is wonderful. And it's God's gift to all who know him, to those who have been set free from sin, to those who have become slaves of God and to righteousness. And so then that brings us to some questions today that we need to have to ask ourselves. Have you examined yourself to make sure that you're coming to heaven on God's terms? Are you playing the game his way, by his rules? Or have you instituted your own? You know, our own rules include I go to church. I'm a member down there at North Oak Baptist Church. I teach Sunday school. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm a the other. And Jesus says, but do you know me? That's bottom line. Doesn't matter what you do in the organization of the church. What matters is that you are part of the organism of the church, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. So have you examined yourself to make sure that you're coming to heaven on God's terms, which include being poor in spirit? That is, you declare yourself spiritually bankrupt. Being sad over your sin, not that you just got caught. Being submissive to God. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because it's only then that we really are able to know God, when we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. A few years ago, a group of us went on a mission trip to Pennsylvania before I was pastor here. And Bill Carmichael, the director of our discipleship training department for the state of Florida, Florida Baptist, kept talking about this apple pie and cinnamon ice cream that they had in Pittsburgh. He said, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's wonderful, he said. All the way up there, he was talking about cinnamon ice cream and apple pie. Well, I want to tell you, by the time we got to Pittsburgh, I was hungering for apple pie and cinnamon ice cream. And I told Bill that. I said, you know, the first place we come that has apple pie and cinnamon ice cream, we're stopping. You know that. He said, I know that. And so he knew of a restaurant there that was their specialty. And we stopped. And we ate. And we were primed for it. That's how we come to Christ. When we have a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness, when we've tried the Broadway, when we've tried everything else, but the only thing that will satisfy our spiritual hunger is to know Jesus Christ, because we've heard of Him. We've heard His name preached. We've heard His name lifted up. And so our appetites are whetted because He's the only one that can provide eternal life. Who in the world would not want to stop and get that? And Jesus says, enter into the narrow gate. There is an urgency about it. Have you entered into that gate? You're still here. And if you're on the Broadway, there's still time to get off. You can do a U-turn and get out of that mess, get out of that quagmire, and head back out that gate and get in the narrow gate that leads to life everlasting. Our Father, this morning, we delight in Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity that Your Word gives us to enter into the narrow gate, to know You personally, to have the promise of life everlasting in heaven. And Lord, even though the way is narrow and sometimes hard, it is always best. For the end of this road is true happiness, true joy, and a delight beyond our imagination. Father, I would pray for those who may be here today who've been on the Broadway of destruction. Lord, they've not yet come to know You. I pray, God, this morning they do U-turn, get off that road, and come in the narrow gate, that they would be among the few that will find it. But Lord, those few have a guarantee of life everlasting with Jesus. Lord, whatever You wish to do this morning, we want to give You absolute permission to do that through Your Holy Spirit. And so would You prompt us now, would You draw us now to Yourself, that we would be obedient to You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.